What good is the warmth of summer without the cold of winter to give it sweetness? Given the weather lately, I thought this quote appropriate. The person who penned those memorable words, the classic American author John Steinbeck, is this episode's featured storyteller. Welcome once again to Great Stories About Great Storytellers. I'm your host, Dr. Randy Overbeck, and here I get to share the intriguing and sometimes strange backstories of famous authors, poets, and directors. This month's storyteller is a name that just about everyone who attended high school in America would recognize. John Steinbeck's work has been part of the Western canon for decades, and his fiction is often portrayed as the great American novel. Weeks of study and review in high school and college would lead many listeners to believe they know pretty much about Mr. Steinbeck, whether they wanted to or not. They, and you, might be surprised. First, the essentials. John Ernst Steinbeck, 1902 to 1968, hailed from California, his father, the Monterey County treasurer, and his mother, a schoolteacher, who nurtured his passion for readings and books. He graduated from Salinas High School and went to Stanford University to study English literature, though he never graduated. Although writing fiction was a lifelong dream, John did a number of other jobs in the, quote, real world, many of which provided valuable research for his later writing. As a young man, he worked summers on ranches in the Fertile Valley inland from the coast from Monterey to Big Sur. There he labored alongside migrant workers on beet farms in the area. He also worked as a tour guide in Lake Tahoe, where he happened to meet his wife, Carol. He even tried to earn money making, of all things, mannequins. But what he really wanted to do was write. When a stint to New York to do some writing faltered, he returned to Central California, eventually having to depend on his parents, who supplied the young married couple with a cottage to live in, paper for his manuscripts, and money so he would not have to work and be able to write. To survive, John Steinbeck bought a small boat to harvest fish and crabs from the sea. At times, John and Carol had to accept welfare and even admitted to stealing sometimes to eat. All so he could write. And write he did. He published his first novel at the age of 27, Cup of Gold, a fictional retelling of the privateer Henry Morgan. Think of Captain Morgan Rum. The next year, he penned a werewolf murder mystery that even Steinbeck thought was so poor, he made sure it was never published. That was followed by two other novels, The Pastor of Heavens, 1932, and To a God Unknown, 1933, neither of which saw much success commercially or critically. It wasn't until he published Tortilla Flat, 6 years after his first novel, that he began to gain notoriety. Through those lean years with little money and even less recognition, John never doubted he would achieve greatness as a writer. One of his memorable quotes attests to this belief. He wrote, "A writer must believe that what he is doing is the most important thing in the world, and he must hold to this illusion even when he knows it is not true." But John made it true. His later works earned him accolades and awards other authors would die for. Tortilla Flat, a story of homeless young men in Monterey, California, set shortly after World War I, won the California Commonwealth Club Gold Medal. But his Dust Bowl fiction, set among the common people during the Depression, really separated John from the pack. Of Mice and Men, the story of two migrant farm workers in California, won the Nobel Prize for Literature, though the prize was awarded in 1962, more than 20 years after the book was published. His next novel, The Grapes of Wrath, earned him even greater recognition. The novel captured the National Book Award and the Pulitzer Prize for Literature. This work is probably the most read, reviewed, and discussed book in high school and college classrooms, and is often referred to as the Great American Novel. Time Magazine, the French newspaper Le Monde, and the Daily Telegraph of UK all included it in the 100 best books of the 20th century. It was an instant bestseller upon release and has sold more than 15 million copies, with 150,000 selling annually still. In 1964, Steinbeck was also awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Lyndon Johnson. He did a great deal more writing. In his writing career, he authored 33 books, 16 novels, 6 nonfiction works, and 2 collections of short stories. These include such classics as The Red Pony, Cannery Row, and the author's favorite, East of Eden. He also served as a World War II correspondent for the New York Herald Tribune, even accompanying commando raids and working with the Office of Strategic Services, which was, of course, the predecessor of the CIA. He even succeeded as a screenwriter, winning an Academy Award nomination for his screenplay of Lifeboat, a film by Alfred Hitchcock. From any vantage point, a clearly outstanding writing career, one an aspiring author would crave. His word captured the trifecta for writers, the National Book Award, the Pulitzer Prize, and the Nobel Prize. But for John Steinbeck, like for all of us, a life of fame and fortune is not all it would appear to be. After a word from the sponsor of this episode, Kings River Life, I'll share a few of the trials and struggles Mr. Steinbeck encountered in spite of, and sometimes because of, his notoriety. Hear mysteries by your favorite authors come to life by listening to King River's Life Mystery Rat Maze podcast. Episodes consist of mystery short stories and first chapters of mystery novels read and acted out by local actors. To listen to the episodes and subscribe to the podcast, you can go to Mystery Rats, plural, maze.podbeam.com. You can also find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the usual podcast places. Featured authors include Cleo Coyle, Ellen Bryan, Jerry Westerson, Dennis Palumbo, Lori Rader Day, Kate Carlisle, Ellery Adams, John Land, Maddie Day, and many more. And enjoy even more mystery fun by checking out Kings River Life magazine at kingsriverlife.com and their sister website, KRL News and Reviews, at krlnews.com, where you can find mystery books and TV reviews, giveaways, mystery short stories, and more. Now, back to our backstory of John Steinbeck. Even with tremendous commercial success and international critical recognition, his fame and fortune did not shield Steinbeck from his share of challenges in work and life. From a very early age, illness and accidents plagued John Steinbeck. He suffered from such infections as pleural pneumonia, kidney infection, a detached retina, a shattered kneecap, a stroke, and even a serious back injury. After his work as a war correspondent, he returned from the front with shrapnel and psychological trauma, what we would today call PTSD. And even though his books are some of the most read books in the Western world, his novels are also some of this country's most banned books. Both Grapes of Wrath and Of Mice and Men have been banned and burned in several states, including California and Mississippi. The American Library Association lists Steinbeck as one of the top 10 banned authors in America. In part, because of the anti-capitalistic views captured in some of his fiction, like Grapes of Wrath, and because John made two trips to Russia, he was accused of being a communist. A major accusation in those days. And even though there was never any proof of any communist involvement by John, J. Edgar Hoover, the director of the FBI, continued to harass the author by having his taxes audited every year. John Steinbeck perhaps captured this aspect of his life in another of his quotes. To be alive is to have scars. On a lighter note, if you've ever used the excuse, "My dog ate my homework," you may have John Steinbeck to thank. According to the author, his Irish setter, Toby, devoured the first half of his manuscript for Of Mice and Men. John, an avid dog lover, took the incident in stride and admitted, quote, "The poor fellow may have been acting critically." Steinbeck shared, as a result of his dog slobber, he wrote a much better novel, and as a result, Of Mice and Men became one of the most lauded novels in the pantheon of American literature. I get it. As an author, I can't remember how many times I've needed to rewrite a chapter or a section of a book, though never because a canine thought it tasty. True story. A reporter once remarked how much she liked the first chapter of Blood on the Chesapeake, the first entry in my Haunted Shore mystery series. She mentioned she was taking a writing class and the prof had just reviewed the critical, essential characteristics of a first chapter. She said, "Yours hits every mark he gave." My answer surprised her. I explained that the pages that ended up as my final first chapter of the novel was, in fact, the 15th version I wrote for that first chapter. Yes, I counted them. If you're a committed writer, you do what it takes to make your work the very best it can be, even if that means rewriting the first half of your award-winning book because your dog ate it. If you haven't yet checked out Blood on the Chesapeake, which, by the way, became a number one bestseller, and any of my other novels, jump over to my website, www.authorrandyoverbeck.com, for all the details and links. There you can also find all the episodes of Great Stories About Great Storytellers. Speaking of which, check back, because you're not going to want to miss the next episode where I will reveal the little-known backstory of Alex Haley, the author of such memorable works as Roots and the autobiography of Malcolm X. Until next time, keep reading those great stories, and I hope at least one of them is mine.